I'll be reading Luke 2, verse 1 to 7. Now in those days, a decree went out from the emperor, Caesar Augustus, that in all the inhabited world, the Roman Empire should be registered in a census. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to register for the census, each to his own city. So Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was with child. While they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her son, firstborn, and wrapped him in cloths and laid him in the manger, because there were no private rooms for them in the inn.
We've come to the time. Let us now prepare our hearts for the message. If I could now invite Pastor Andrew to please come and share with us God's word. Let's welcome him.
Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope this word today encourages you and reminds you of the specialness of this day, which is Christmas Day. The title of this message is The Cry of Hope. And as Monifair beautifully read, I was reading Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, and that verse 7 really spoke to me. And I thought to myself, surely Jesus cried when he was born, right? He's a baby. Babies usually cry when they're born. And I thought to myself, what type of cry did it sound like? Was it a normal baby cry? Would I have shivered if I heard it? I just thought to myself, surely there was something special and significant about that cry. As I pondered about it more, I realized that that cry was a cry for hope. A hope for change. A hope for freedom. A hope that peace would be on earth. A hope that there would be a greater valuing of God. As I pondered this, I thought to myself, I can relate to this. I'll tell you a story. I was a teenager. I was about 13, 14, and it was Christmas Day. My gift was under the Christmas tree. That gift was underneath the Christmas tree for 2 weeks. I sized it up. When my parents wasn't looking, I was touching it, I was measuring it, I was sure that it was something I wanted. At the time, I wanted a console called an N64. Oh, it was a good thing. Christmas Day came, I thought to myself, surely this is it. Oh yeah. I left it specifically for the last present to be opened. I went to the present, opened it up. It was a shoebox. Thank you. I was upset. And that cry of hope that I had to get the gift I wanted ended up to be just tears. Now, I say that to say this. Commercialization of Christmas can detract us on the significance of the day. But there is a cry of hope I believe God has been releasing since the birth of Jesus. And I hope that this message encourages you to realize that. I left that gift partly opened under the tree and I was upset all day. My hopes were dashed away. And in that moment, I pondered today and I thought to myself, it would be good to tell everyone the definition of hope. Hope is a faith-inspired response and expectation to the fulfillment of what God has spoken or written to you that is still yet to come to pass. It's not a random wish. Back to my N64 story. The giving of gifts simply represent the gift that we have been given, which is Jesus Christ. I realized that after that day. So when we look at Jesus, let's look deeper. This baby Jesus that was born. The first one I want to talk to you about Jesus and this day is the gift of eternal life. Jesus represents the gift of eternal life. What is eternal life, I hear you ask? Eternal life is to know God. Eternal life isn't just about how long you live, the never ending of life. It is the quality of God's life specifically. So let's put this together. Eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life is the quality of God's life. And as you enjoy eternal life, you get to know God more. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 2 says it brilliantly. This is what Apostle John says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at our and at our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. I want you to understand that how would we have known what God's life looked like until you encapsulated that life and put it in a body? And this is what John is saying: I've seen eternal life. And it was in a man called Jesus Christ. So eternal life is one of the gifts that I want you to know is found in Jesus Christ. The next thing I want to talk about is the incarnation. The incarnation sometimes isn't really spoken about that much in church, but we really have to really focus on it. As we celebrate this day, we are reminding ourselves that prophecies have been fulfilled. Isaiah says in Isaiah 7 verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. One of the earliest prophecies in the Bible is found in Genesis when it talks about the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the enemy. Now, obviously, we now understand that the seed of the woman was Christ in Mary. The incarnation proves that what God said was going to happen has happened. The incarnation is God becoming a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. The incarnation also tells us that God entered human history in order to change humanity's future. The incarnation is spelled out in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only unique son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. My friends, because Jesus was born, hope for eternal life and the experience of God's love can now be known. It's more than just a day of giving gifts. Another word I want to introduce you to is a word called hypostatic union. Big word. Essentially, hypostatic union basically means this. It is the belief that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. Essentially that. Now, it shouldn't be overlooked. And sometimes in Western culture, we are fooled into thinking it must be like other stuff we've come across, like demigods in Greek mythology. Jesus is not half God, half man. That has to be very clear. He's not half God, half man. He is fully God, fully man. Now, this is more fantastic than you're nodding your head to. It's more fantastic than that. Now, the reason why it's more fantastic than that is this. If Jesus is fully God and fully man, you must understand that in Jesus is the location where God and humanity comes together as one. Because Jesus is fully man. You see, I was watching a film one day, and this film was terrible. And it was hilarious. It was a film about Jesus. It was a bad film. And Mary said to Jesus, Jesus, I have to tell you something. Yes, Mom? You're God. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I need everyone to know, just in case you thought that, Jesus wasn't told that he was God. He didn't go to university to graduate and become God. He was born God. But he was also born fully man. The beautiful thing about Jesus being fully man is that that allows him to be the perfect representative for all mankind. And because he can be the perfect representative of all mankind, his incarnation, the fact that he was born, you have to understand, he was born to die. The Bible says that he laid his life down. He submitted himself to death so that he could defeat death. Why? So he could destroy death in all of us. The beautiful thing about Jesus Christ's hypostatic union is best said like this. This is the hypostatic union is the union of God and man. Him being both God and man means that he is completely God. And because he is completely God, it is God who saves us. And because he is completely man, it is humanity that is offered the salvation that he provides. Now, this to me is fantastic. It couldn't be any other way. So not only did I realize in this pondering of Jesus and Christmas that hypostatic union, eternal life, and incarnation are significant, I also realized that there's another interesting word I'm going to introduce you to. The word is called perichoresis. I need three people to do this for me. Pastor Cordiff? Pastor Malcolm? I know you like to dance. Come, sir. And Ben, you're laughing too much. Come as well. Okay, let's use this. As they come up, I want all three of them to hold hands in a circle, right? Yes, very good, sir. Right, in a circle. And I want you to dance. Please look where you're dancing. Please be careful. Right, please, it's Christmas Day. I want you to dance. Ooh, you, Pastor Malcolm, you, give us an Irish dance. What I want you to do is just skip around. But you have to skip around with great joy and happiness. Right. Now keep doing that. Keep doing that. Now. Right. You can go slower. Now, check this out. As they're doing this, I want you to understand what perichoresis is. Perichoresis is the representation of the love dance of God, of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They love each other in such a way, it's self-giving, they're kind to each other, they're loving, they're patient, they're good, they're faithful, they're gentle. It is a consistent way of living that the Godhead lives. In other words, perichoresis is the best way to describe the life of God. It's beautiful. Now, the reality is, yes, you can stop. Now, the beautiful thing about this way of living is that way of living, that love dance was at work in Jesus' heart at all times. That love dance that was at work in how he spoke, in how he fought, in the laying on of hands, everything that he'd done, the reality of the love of the Father, the love of the Spirit, his love for them was consistently constant at all times. And the beautiful thing about Christmas is that when you collect all these words, perichoresis, hypostatic union, incarnation, eternal life, I've come to the realization of this. The reason why Jesus came, and the reason why he is the greatest gift, is that life of love in him he wants to put in you. When you live a life like that, then, my friends, you are free. You are free from the pressures of society. You are free from the failures of your life. You are free from the abuse you may have gone through. You are free from the mentality and attitude you had about yourself, your family. You are free. And this freedom isn't a conceptual freedom that you just simply declare. It's supposed to be a reality you're supposed to experience. My friends, Jesus, in that dance, laid his life down so that anyone who would believe could be a bridge and enter in and have fellowship with the Father and the Spirit as well. I want everyone to close their eyes. As we celebrate this Christmas day, as we celebrate the fact that the God that we believe in became flesh, became a human. He came into this world to give us life, to give us this gift. I want to give an opportunity for all those who are watching online, for those who are in this church right now. Irrespective of any gift that you receive today, I want to encourage you that the greatest gift is available to all. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to go to a particular church. He has done everything that is required, and all you need to say is, yes, I believe, I receive, amen. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was born man, but fully God, so that you, human, could live like his child, a child of God. Your sins have been forgiven. A new life awaits you. If that's you, I want you to raise your hands right now. Be encouraged that Christmas is more than coming to church. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see that. It's more than coming to church. It's an opportunity to reveal the life of Christ. For those four who've put their hands up, please, you are more than welcome to speak to me after this service. God bless you. The angels are celebrating. Heaven is celebrating to those four who've put their hand up. And as we end today's service, I'll end with the story. I gave up opening the package that my mom gave me. And I came to realize later on that day that it was an N64. They put it in the wrong box to put me off. Now I say that to all of you, especially those who believe because of this. We know Jesus is there. We know he exists. And it's all well and good to know that he's there and he exists. But the whole point of a gift isn't for it to sit idle. Jesus wants you to engage with him. He wants you to receive him fully. And I pray that you're encouraged today. Those who already know Jesus, that it's your opportunity, it is your duty, and it is his desire for you to walk with him and be a light and salt in this world, especially on Christmas Day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.